Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. And all of our listeners out there in, what are we going to call it?
Cyberland.
Cyberland. Okay. Oh, this is very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Vancouver joins Canada briefly as an Arctic front moves in, and we actually have cold weather and snow.
Well, I saw something like minus 12 degrees possible. That's unusually cool for Vancouver.
Yeah, it's the humidity that makes it feel colder.
Oh, sure. Tell me about
that. Yeah, it's minus 39 or something in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Now, that's cold.
Yeah.
Whether it's in C or in effing, as they say.
Yes.
That's effing cold.
It's effing cold, yes.
Okay, some of the headlines that caught your eye. China stocks slumped to 5-year low.
Yeah, if you're not looking at the chart, one wouldn't have known that. And, of course, I haven't been looking at the chart that closely. And then, bang, you get the headline, and that's not healthy at all.
Although I am seeing some headlines saying this could be a good opportunity to get into Chinese stocks.
Not yet. Let's let this whole down cycle come into play here. Yeah.
Headline, as pandemic jobs hole closes, Fed finds labor market easing elusive. In other words, they're still creating jobs like crazy in the U.S., even despite the high interest rates.
The only explanation I've been able to think of, Jim, is that people are trying to get back to normal after the COVID shock, and so it's still happening. But also I saw one where whatever department calculates the employment numbers, they're kind of like depressing the ones from now 3 or 4 months ago to make it look like a better trend recently. But nonetheless, there's people are working, but I'm staying with the, and we go to March a year ago is when the yield curve inverted, and in our charts, whenever the U.S. yield curve inverts, it's followed by a recession. So somewhere that'll kick in.
German retail giant Galleria insolvent in the wake Sigma collapse.
Yeah, it sounds like two retail giants got overexposed, not enough business, and oops, down you go.
Mm. Well, Germany has been in an official recession for some time.
Well, they've been completely screwed up because of their energy policies, you know, shutting down coal and trying to do it all with mirrors and stuff. And then all of a sudden they find it, ooh, and then they lost supplies of natural gas, so they had to reopen some coal mines. So I think that with their slowdown and recessions, I think people in these countries will eventually get back to practical and say, hey, look, it just governments, just leave us alone kind of thing. Yeah.
Offices around America hit a new vacancy record.
Oh, yeah. Vacancies in offices. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one because how much office space is, you know, there is. How much oversupply? Whatever, you know, it's when you go on a crazy building boom and you make the decision, and 7 years later you get the building built, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Well, with this office vacancy as well, we have younger people who have come to the office. They don't like it. They want to go back and work at home where, you know, they can do whatever they want, watch TV, play with the cat while they work.
Oh, yeah.
And also, we still have labor shortages, but the young folks have learned there's no sense working overtime for a big corporation that's just going to lay you off when you get older, because they've seen it happen to their parents.
Yeah, well, I think that once the North America gets into a recession, people are going to have to get very realistic, and governments are going to have to get realistic, because, one, tax revenues will be diminished, and two, if you got weak prices, the federal government can't resort to inflation to fund itself. So I think they're going to be in a jam, and I think what a line I've used for a few years is that the in-your-face and in-your-wallet government is going to be repudiated. And, of course, in Canada, under Prime Minister Trudeau, it really is in-your-face government. So.
Now, an ETF for Bitcoin has been approved. BlackRock is behind it. They're the biggest money managers in the world. What's your opinion on Bitcoin getting more legitimacy?
Oh, I think that if it wasn't a crazy stock market, I don't know how far Bitcoin would have gone. Now, you've got something interesting going on, Jim, that we've talked about going back to November, and that is that oftentimes you can have a spectacular market event brew up and then conclude in the December-January window. And one of the most spectacular, of course, was the Japanese speculative bubble. The Nikkei, it went up until the last trading day in 1989, and Japanese speculators were buying the world. And last trading day of 1989, and then you had the Hunt brothers' attempted corner on silver, and that, I think the high on that one was something like January 18th, 1980. And then you had the, a really good New York stock market bubble went up until about January the 10th of 1973 and was followed by a 45% decline. So this is always fascinating. So when you saw like uranium sector brewing up, and I thought, oh, that could be one of these big items that completes in January. And then what happened is it took the broad stock market with it, like the S&P and stuff like that. It's just been a terrific market. So on this one, I don't know whether you call it the turn of the year or a December phenomenon, but when they come in, they're incredible, and then they fail fairly quickly. So over the next few weeks, we should just see what the longevity is in this latest stock move. And then also uranium has gone from going up to even straight up and getting kind of overbought. So it could be another example of one of these fabulous markets that completes in January. We'll just watch and see here how it goes. But the trading excesses. Now, upside exhaustions and stuff in uranium sector is getting pretty overbought. So we'll watch that one, too.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, my question is, with Bitcoin now being available as an ETF, will this suck more money out of the gold market and bring gold down?
No, I don't think so. Gold is on its own. As you know, we like the gold stocks, not because gold's going to go to $3,000 or $15,000. It's because in a post-bubble contraction, prices fall relative to gold. And if you take the CRB, take gold and divide it by the CRB, this is what's happening. So the and that CRB represent basic costs of mining. And then even more emphatic is the, you know, energy costs of mining, about 60%. And that then the proxy for that is crude oil. And gold divided by crude oil is also acting very well. So your costs of mining are favoring gold miners. So you don't have to get into speculating about what the U.S. dollar is going to do or what gold's doing. You just look at the real price. And in previous post-bubble deflations, gold's real price has gone up, and the miners make money for many years. So, you know, you take a fund manager, equity guy, who normally wouldn't buy golds, and he looks at a couple of quarters with the gold index outperforming the S&P, he's got to get in. So this is, we're going into a post-bubble deflation when earnings for gold mining will more than likely be going up. So the gold miners will make money on increasing earnings rather than the old speculation about dollar down and gold up. So that makes it an investment. If you're buying gold stocks on dollar down, gold up, that's a speculation in foreign exchange. But if you're buying gold miners because their earnings are improving, that then becomes more of an investment. So this, yeah, the charts look good on this and should continue for a while, so which this gets us down into the junior sector where I've had decades of experience in small cap gold stocks, exploration, and we put together a list of, I think, about 12 small cap gold stocks. They range from pre-production to small producers and then some, you know, just exploration stocks. And the reason for suggesting this is that, you know, one or two of them may get stuck, or maybe get delisted, who knows. But if you've got a suite of them, the probability is they'll work out quite well. And with junior stocks, once they start to move, they can get pretty good percentage gains. And whereas if you leverage up in gold futures or ETFs and all that kind of stuff, it can get a bit weird. But if you have a portfolio, say, of 12 or 15 small-cap gold stocks, you're going to get a pretty good shake from it. And as I say, one or two may die on the vine, but you don't know. But I remember we did this quite a few years ago, 1996, took a list of five junior gold stocks, and one of them was Arequipa, and it went to $30, which was remains in my mind very emphatically. So I like the sector, the gold sector stocks generally, and specifically some of the juniors could do well.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and I'm glad that my voice hung out on this one.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.